Welcome this evening to Bhaktivedanta Manor for our evening, Sunday evening lecture. For the last two Sundays, we have been talking about the glorious departures of great devotees from this world. We will continue with that theme today as well, and speak about the glorious passing away of the great warrior and devotee, Bhishma. Everyone has heard about Bhishma. Anyone who has heard the stories of the Mahabharata surely could not miss out on Bhishma. A very charismatic personality who plays a very pivotal role in the whole of the Mahabharata. He is there from the very beginning of the text, all the way up into the battle of Kurukshetra. He was a pillar of the throne of Hastinapur. What is not so commonly known is that he was also a very, very great devotee of Krishna. Bhishma's passing away is the stuff of what heroes are made of. Such heroic departures are very rarely to be found in this world. As we have been discussing, what makes a passing away heroic is not that one passes away in a flamboyant way, but passing away with deep devotion for Lord Krishna. That is what makes the departure glorious. So Bhishma's life was very extraordinary. This morning we spoke for a couple of hours to a small group of devotees on the glories of Bhishma. And we did speak something about his passing away as well. But since here the crowd is quite different from that which was in the morning, I will go over some of the things I said this morning also. Bhishma had taken a vow of celibacy that he would not marry, because that was a condition that was placed for his father, the great King Shantanu, to marry Satyavati Devi. Satyavati's father had wanted that her son, his grandson, should actually become the successor to King Shantanu. And what a great sacrifice Bhishma made. He first of all relinquished his kingship and said that I take a vow that I will never sit on the throne of Hastinapur, which was like the emperor of the world. He was the heir apparent, the crown prince, but he gave it up. And then when the father of Satyavati expressed a doubt about Bhishma's progeny, Bhishma said, well then, I'll settle that doubt also. I will maintain complete celibacy. I will not get married. For a Kshatriya of that age especially, it was something quite unheard of. So much so that the demigods from the heaven, from the higher planets, started showering flower petals upon him. And they named him as Bhishma, the one of the terrible vow. And Bhishma was the one who actually arranged for the growing up of the Pandavas and the Kauravas, arranged the teachers for them, looked after them. And what to speak of the Pandavas and the Kauravas, he was the one who also looked after their fathers, Dhritarashtra, Pandu and Vidura. He was the one who arranged for their marriages and so on. In times of difficulty, Bhishma was always there to support the throne of Hastinapur. As time went on, the Kauravas and Pandavas were growing into young princes, and it became very, very clear that Duryodhana wanted his cousins to be killed. And he hatched so many plots to this end, but somehow or the other, they were saved. Bhishma tried in vain, like did many others, including Lord Krishna, to prevent the war. But the war was inevitable. It happened. And as a run-up to the war, Bhishma blessed Yudhishthir Maharaj when he came to seek his blessings before the battle. And Bhishma graciously gave him blessings. "You have my blessings to attain victory over us." Bhishma's personality is very intriguing because as a pure devotee of the Lord, he was fighting against the Lord. He was fighting in the opposite camp on behalf of the Kauravas against Krishna and the Pandavas. And therefore sometimes Bhishma's role is misunderstood. But we have to see that Bhishma is actually a great devotee who is playing a role in the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna descends here to establish the principles of religion, to destroy miscreants, and also to save his devotees. So Bhishma Dev played an important part in that. Because Krishna had brought together all the Kshatriyas of the world, and they would fight with each other, kill each other, and then reduce the burden of the earth. So when the battle began, Bhishma was fighting ferociously. He had received a benediction that he would be invincible in war, in battle, and also that he would be able to die at his own wish. It's called Ichha Mrityu, a person who can choose the time of his own death. That's something very exceptional. It is granted to a few rare people. It's one of the yogic powers actually. So Bhishma had that benediction. It was very hard for Bhishma to be conquered. And before the battle, when Yudhishthir came to ask him for blessings, Bhishma said, "You have my blessings." And Yudhishthir asked him, "Then please tell me, how may we conquer you?" And Bhishma said, "I cannot be conquered. I am invincible in battle. But nevertheless, I will tell it to you at some other time. The time has not come for me to die. When the time comes, you approach me again, and I will answer your question at that time." And as the battle began, Bhishma began to fight ferociously, and he was slaughtering the soldiers of the Pandava army every day in the thousands. The Pandavas were really getting worried. And at one time, even Krishna was forced to break his promise. Krishna had made a promise before the battle of Kurukshetra that he would not lift a weapon. He would only be a charioteer of Arjuna, but he would not fight. He would not even lift a weapon. And he kept his promise till the 9th day of the battle. When Bhishma fought so ferociously that Arjuna's life was in danger, and then Krishna jumped down from his chariot, got hold of the chariot wheel, lifted it, and rushed towards Bhishma. Bhishma laid down his weapons, raised his hands in surrender, and with great happiness was willing to be killed by Krishna at that time. But Arjuna came from behind. He caught him, encircled his body with his arms to hold him. But Krishna was in such fury that he kept running, dragging Arjuna behind him, even as Arjuna was holding on to him on his chest. And eventually Arjuna, seeing no other respite, slipped and then held Krishna's legs with both his arms. And he was saying, "Krishna, please don't go ahead. You have already crossed 10 steps. What will people say? The process of devotional service also will get a bad name. You will get a bad name that you have broken your vow. So please do not falsify your word. I will fight and I will conquer Bhishma." Krishna was waiting for that because he was seeing that Arjuna, out of affection for his grandfather Bhishma, had not been putting his everything into the battle. And therefore Bhishma was just running amok among the soldiers of the Pandavas. So Bhishma was joyfully watching the scene of Lord Krishna lifting up a weapon. And actually this was the Lord's arrangement himself, because he wanted to see that his devotee's protection was always uppermost in his mind. This is Krishna's spirit of renunciation and his love for his devotees. No one likes to be known as a liar in this society. No one likes to have a reputation of not being trustworthy or unreliable and so on. But Krishna exactly risked that. So he didn't care that his name would be spoiled, that people would criticize him as one who was not trustworthy because he broke his vow. He was more concerned about his devotee. So he sacrificed his reputation, his credibility, to go and save the life of his devotee Arjuna. This is the greatness of the Supreme Lord. The devotees are so dear to him that he doesn't care for anything else. After this, the Pandavas had to gather in consultation to see what can be done now. The way Bhishma is fighting, we will be all finished within a short time. We've already lost so many soldiers. And Yudhishthira remembered what Bhishma had said to him at the beginning of the battle, that I will tell you some other time how I can be conquered. So Yudhishthira, along with his brothers, went to Bhishma after the day's battle was over. And he approached Bhishma. Bhishma was happy to see Yudhishthira. So my dear Yudhishthira, what can I do for you? And Yudhishthira's question was, how can we kill you? In effect, because my troops are getting slaughtered by the thousands every day, how may we emerge victorious in this battle? How may you be conquered by us in battle, O grandfather? Please tell us. In his heart, Yudhishthira Maharaj was condemning himself. He was condemning the life of Kshatriyas, the fact that they had to even think of such a thing as killing someone like Bhishma, who was so dear to them. But nevertheless, it was a sense of duty. For the sake of dharma, this had to be done. It was not a battle for the ego of Yudhishthira Maharaj. It was a battle of religious principles ordained directly by the Lord himself. Bhishma said, well, actually the fact is, no one can defeat me. I can only be defeated when I lay down my weapons. So Yudhishthira asked him, then how can we make sure you lay down your weapons? He said, I lay down my weapons only under certain conditions. Like if someone surrenders unto me, if someone is in fear and runs away from me, or someone lays down his weapons, or if someone's armor is shattered and is unprotected, then I lay down my weapons. I do not fight against such a person. Also, I will never fight in battle against women, against ladies. And therefore, because Shikhandi, the offspring of Drupad Maharaj, was formerly a lady and has now become a man, so I will not fight against Shikhandi. So here is a secret, O Yudhishthira. Place Shikhandi in front of you and engage in battle with me, and then you will emerge victorious. And the Pandavas went back, having got the secret of how to overcome Bhishma in battle. Both Arjuna and Yudhishthira were really feeling terrible about the whole thing, but somehow or other they composed themselves, and the next day's battle began. Eventually, the strategy that Bhishma himself has suggested worked. Bhishma's body was covered with arrows. There wasn't even place on his body to have one or two finger space between arrows. His body was pierced by so many arrows. And eventually he fell from his chariot onto the floor, onto the ground. But because his body had been pierced by arrows everywhere, he did not contact the ground. He just lay on a bed of arrows. A very unique situation. We have never heard of warriors who fall down and then lie on a bed of arrows. And he wanted a pillow. When Bhishma fell down, there was an uproar. Oh, Bhishma has fallen, Bhishma has fallen. And soldiers from both sides stopped the battle. They came to where Bhishma lay to offer their respects to him. And Bhishma asked for a pillow. They all brought fine silk pillows from somewhere. But Bhishma said, no, this is unbecoming of a hero who is about to leave his body on the battlefield. Call Arjuna. Arjuna came. And Arjuna promptly shot arrows into the ground and created a pillow for Bhishma. Because his head had been hanging down. Now, thanks to Bhishma, his head had a resting place. And then he informed the assembled kings and the soldiers that the time has not come for me to go yet, because the sun is still in its southward journey. According to the yogic texts, and this is also briefly mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, that the auspicious times for yogis to leave their bodies is when the sun is in its northward course. It's called Uttarayan, when it moves northwards. As from our point of view, as we are here on earth, we see the sun moving southwards in our winter, and then it reaches its extreme point, and then from that extreme point it stops and then reverses and moves northwards. So the point at which it reverses is the point which is called Uttarayan, the point of the northward journey beginning for the sun. So Bhishma had noted that the sun was still in its southward journey. So he said, I will wait till the sun has begun its northward journey. And he remained there. The Pandavas also came there. They sat with Bhishma for a while. Then it was sunset and everyone departed to their respective camps, because only half the battle was over yet. Only 10 days were over. The battle would last another 8 days. Next morning they again came to offer respects to Bhishma. And Bhishma said, I need some water to drink. My throat is parched. They all brought expensive royal jugs and cups of water. And Bhishma was not happy. He said, this is not the way for a hero to drink water when he's lying on his deathbed. I want the passing away of a hero. So give me water that is in a way that is appropriate for a hero who is dying on the battlefield. And then he said, call Arjuna. When he saw that no one else was able to provide that, Arjuna came. He circumambulated Bhishma with great respect, and then he shot arrows into the ground. One arrow into the ground, and lo and behold, the water from the celestial, from the Ganges below the water, pure, auspicious water, started gushing out like a geyser and came into Bhishma's mouth. Bhishma quenched his thirst and began to glorify Arjuna and told Duryodhana, now Duryodhan, please listen to me. This is the time that you must stop this war. Let my death be the means for peace to dawn amongst you brothers. Give half the kingdom to Yudhishthira and his brothers. You rule the other half and live happily. Just see the prowess of this Yudhishthira. He has brought me water by shooting an arrow into the ground. Such power, such capacity for warfare. And plus, Krishna is on their side. How can you ever hope to be victorious? At least now, Duryodhan, please listen to me as I am about to leave this world. Stop this war. But Duryodhana was bent upon his strategy to complete the war to the very end. And then the battle went on. Out of respect for Bhishma, the warriors did not come on this side, Bhishma lay there on his bed of arrows for another 8 days. Yes, not an easy thing to do. To lie on a bed for 8 days is bad enough, but to lie on a bed of arrows is not something we would all look forward to. We get so much pain when even a small pin pierces us. What to speak of an arrow? And what if the entire weight of your body were resting on these arrows and you were lying there? So Bhishma remained lying there in full control of his faculties, waiting for the auspicious date of the Uttarayana, when the sun would begin its northward course. Meanwhile, Yudhishthir Maharaj won the war, as you all know. He was installed as the emperor. And at that time, Vyasadeva advised Yudhishthir, "You are asking me all these questions about statecraft, about the duties of a king, about the duties of a kshatriya, and so on. The right person to go and ask is Bhishma. Even as he lies on the battlefield on his bed of arrows, he is perfectly competent to give you this knowledge in all detail. He has learned this knowledge from celestial sources in his younger days. He has learned warfare from Parashuram. He has learned the science of the Vedas from Sanat Kumar and from other great sages. There is no field of knowledge where he is not expert in. The subject of duties and morality is by far his strong point. Please go and ask him. He will guide you about the duties and morality for a king of this world, for an emperor." And Yudhishthir Maharaj was at that time in the capital. And Krishna was also there. The next day, Yudhishthir Maharaj came up to Krishna. Krishna was sitting in a very pensive mood. In fact, he was sitting like a statue, like a figure painted on canvas. And Yudhishthir Maharaj was curious to know what the reason was. He came and said, "O Keshava, O Krishna, what is it that is going on in your mind? Why is it that you are sitting like a statue? It looks that your thoughts are numbed. What is it that you are contemplating on?" And Krishna replied, "My dear Yudhishthir, Bhishma is lying on the battlefield on his bed of arrows and he is thinking of me. He is calling out to me and he is praying for my grace, and my mind is automatically drawn towards him. I cannot take my mind away from him. That Bhishma, who fought for so many days with Parashuram, and whom even Parashuram could not defeat in battle, that Bhishma, who is learned in all the skills of warfare and statecraft, that Bhishma, who took such terrible vows of celibacy in his youth, even as a kshatriya, that Bhishma who protected the throne of Hastinapur, and he glorified like this, Bhishma like this in many, many ways," he said, "that Bhishma is now surrendering his mind at my feet." And indeed, at that time, Bhishma was actually doing that. Bhishma was offering his heartfelt prayers because the time of Uttarayana was approaching. And Krishna said, "I must go there. I must go to where Bhishma is." So the Lord actually also feels equally for his devotee. When the devotee thinks about the Lord at the time of his death, it attracts the attention of the Lord. And Krishna also begins to pay attention. So the passing away of a great devotee is done under the supervision of the Lord himself. Because a pure devotee of the Lord would always think of Krishna at the time of death. And when someone thinks of Krishna with devotion, Krishna also thinks of him. The path of devotion is a very personal thing. Krishna reciprocates appropriately to the sentiments of every single devotee. Krishna said, "Yes, Yudhishthir Maharaj, let us go there immediately." And Krishna, along with Yudhishthir and many others, boarded their chariots and went back to Kurukshetra, to the battlefield where Bhishma lay. Of course, around him there were phalanxes of soldiers, with due respect, guarding him. And Yudhishthir, Krishna and others arrived on the scene. Bhishma again offered his respects to Krishna and began to glorify Krishna. At that time Krishna said, "My dear Bhishma, here with me is Emperor Yudhishthir. He is your beloved grandson. Just see, he is so despondent now because he feels himself responsible for the massacre that has taken place at this battlefield. Please give him good instruction. There is no one more qualified than you to do this." Bhishma heard this from Krishna, and after praising Krishna, he said, "Oh my dear Krishna, just see my condition. My condition is extremely inappropriate now. The wounds are causing tremendous pain as I lie here on this bed. My mental faculties are no longer stable. I'm not able to focus my mind clearly. And all that I knew before, my memory fails me at this time as I am on my deathbed. Krishna, actually you should be the one to give this discourse to Yudhishthir Maharaj. I am not qualified and competent to do so." And then Krishna replied, "My dear Bhishma, by my grace, you will remember everything that you studied in your younger days. All the detailed aspects of morality, of dharma, and everything will be imprinted in your consciousness. So much so that every word that you speak will have the authority of the Vedas. So speak, my dear Bhishma. I have arranged this to glorify you, to spread your fame all over the world." "Yes, that is indeed Lord Krishna's nature. He wants his devotee to be glorified." And Krishna persuaded Bhishma to speak. And Bhishma suddenly felt himself rejuvenated. The pains of the wounds inflicted by the arrows disappeared. He remembered everything with clarity. Everything that he had read, everything that he had heard in his childhood, all came back to him. And he was now enthusiastic to speak. But on the other hand, Yudhishthir Maharaj had been very hesitant to approach Bhishma, because he was embarrassed to show his face even to Bhishma, because he was feeling guilty. "It's because of me. It's because I had to ascend the throne that this whole massacre of lakhs, hundreds of thousands of people have happened here." But he was assured, no. Krishna assured him, this was a battle of dharma. It was not a whimsical battle waged just for you to get kingship. Yudhishthir, finally being convinced, came before Bhishma. Bhishma spoke eloquently, answering all of Yudhishthir's questions about the duties of a king, the duties of a kshatriya. He spoke about moksha dharma, the dharma of liberation. He spoke about stri dharma, the dharma or the duties of a woman, the duties of a king, the duties of a householder, and the duties of various categories of people in this world. And he spoke very eloquently, even though he was there on the bed of arrows. Finally, he concluded his discourse. And then he began to focus his mind exclusively on Krishna. As Krishna sat there in front of him, Bhishma removed everything else from his mind, kept his eyes fixed on Krishna, and began to recite many wonderful verses in glorification of Krishna. He also began to recollect the various activities and pastimes of Krishna, especially on the battlefield, because these were fresh in Bhishma's mind. He remembered the time that Krishna had got down from the chariot and had lifted up the wheel and was rushing towards him in great anger. He also remembered the sight of Krishna driving the chariot of Arjuna, his hair having turned ashen due to the dust on the battlefield, and beads of perspiration decorating his forehead, and his clothes flapping in the wind. He remembered that scene of Krishna's beauty as he came forward in the chariot. He was remembering Krishna's other pastimes, even those in Vrindavan. And in this way, Bhishma's concentration and his memory was focused exclusively on Krishna. And after he had glorified Krishna, he said, "O Krishna, please give me permission to depart. I seek your blessings." And with a heavy heart, Krishna gave him the permission to leave this world. As Bhishma sat there, or lay there, completely in spiritual consciousness, King Yudhishthir, the Pandavas, and all the other kings who had assembled there, including sages from all over who had come there, there was complete silence. As Bhishma Dev moved his life airs up and brought his soul to the top of his head, and the soul moved out through the top of his skull and went into the higher regions, and everyone and everything fell silent. Just as birds at the end of the day stop chirping and there is quiet, immediately as Bhishma departed, everyone was silent for a while. And then, because of this glorious departure, they started beating drums. The demigods in the heavenly planets were showering flowers and also beating drums. The glorious Bhishma had now finally departed. Bhishma had been also considering his great fortune that Krishna had personally come in front of him as he was leaving. This is actually the perfection of our life, to be able to think about Krishna with love as we are leaving this body. And just see Bhishma's good fortune. Krishna arranged for this whole matter of Bhishma's passing away in such a way that he would himself be personally present there, so that Bhishma could focus his mind on him. And seeing Krishna's beautiful face, remembering his pastimes on the battlefield as well as in other places, with great devotion and being completely detached from this world, Bhishma left. The final rites for Bhishma's body were performed as per the scriptural injunctions. Yudhishthir Maharaj, greatly enriched by the knowledge that Bhishma had given him, ruled over the world in a statesman-like fashion, ruling exactly as per the scriptures. He lived up to his name of Dharmaraj, one who is the embodiment of religious principles. Bhishma Deva's example is a sterling example for all of us to follow and emulate. Not that we have to be on bed of arrows, but when we die, when we are about to leave, the pain of death can be difficult, but if we remember Krishna with devotion, then by Krishna's grace, just like it happened for Bhishma, we can be relieved of all discomfort and focus our mind exclusively on Krishna. Such was the glorious departure of the great Bhishma from this world. Shri Bhishma Dev Ki Jai. Of course, there are many other things about Bhishma that can be discussed, but I thought, since the topic now is glorious departure, so we focus just a little bit on his passing away from this world. It is by such examples that we get inspiration that we can also prepare ourselves for our eventual departure by training ourselves to think of Krishna even as we are living, so that we will be finally ready when the call comes for us. Hare Krishna.